For over 45 years, Pensacola Christian College has set aside some time each spring semester for Bible conference. These days of concentrated study and preaching from the Word of God are a time of spiritual enrichment for our students, faculty and staff, and many others who join us for these services. We're pleased to welcome you to the PCC Bible Conference.
1 Chronicles 28 this morning. I'm going to read a few verses of our text, and we're going to fast forward in the life of David. We started out the first night, Monday night, as he came on the scene as just a young man, took on a giant immediately, as we said in the afternoon session yesterday, became a household name in Israel. And now we advance in 1 Chronicles 28 to his latter days. As we reverence together the reading of his word, I invite you to stand and I'll read our text. 1 Chronicles 28 this morning. I'll begin reading in verse number 1 and invite you to follow along with me as I read. The Bible says, "And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood.'" Verse number 6. "And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." Verse number 9. "And thou, Solomon, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Verse number 20. "And David said to Solomon his son, Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." The title of my message this morning, students, is "Your Foundation, Your Future." Let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you for this opportunity to speak to this crowd. But I'm thankful that you speak to individuals. And I pray this morning that each of us will sense the moving of the still small voice of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to our hearts this morning. And may we be obedient to do what he asks us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There is something very special about last words or historic words. It was the patriot Nathan Hale who said, "I regret that I have but one life to live for my country." If you visit the alma mater, the college that Jim Elliott attended, you will see there in the administration building a plaque that's been etched into the wall, and it says, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." It was Joshua who said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We started out Monday night with David when he was just a boy. If we had time, we would have traced his life through the decades that followed. It is quite a journey. In fact, the number of pages of Holy Writ that are dedicated to David is very significant. David was anointed by Samuel to be the king of Israel when he probably was between 10 and 15 years of age. We can readily understand why his older brothers must have said, "Hey, he's just off taking care of the sheep. He certainly at his young age isn't anyone who is going to have the living God determine he'll be the next king of Israel." We know, as we said Monday night, that David took on Goliath when he was probably between 16 and 19, certainly no older than 20. We know from the Bible that he was 30 when he was crowned king. And we know that he served 40 years as the king. So probably at this point in his life, he's around 70. At this age, he calls together a public gathering. He says, "It's time for me to pass the baton of leadership of the nation of Israel." And what he does next is absolutely poignant. As he sets his son, who will be the next king, in front of all of the major leadership groups of the nation, and he gives him a public challenge. And in that public challenge, the words resonate so clearly that what his motive is, as a man who speaks not in these words as the prophet, he speaks not as the psalmist, but he speaks here as a parent. He speaks poignantly to his son and basically attempts in these closing words of his kingship to motivate him to stake his future on the living God. You know what all of us live with? We all live with the perspective of the future. And the reason that we do is because the living God has put that in us. Isn't it wonderful that you get into a car and the rearview mirror is very, very small, but the windshield is huge. And so it is in life that it's great to spend some time looking back, as long as you don't spend a lot of time, because Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I believe with all my heart that this school was established and exists for this purpose. If we could sum it up in one word, in light of King David, this school exists to challenge young people to stake your future on the living God. How do you do it? By building on the foundation that David laid out so clearly to his son. Notice with me, number one, as you look to the future, young people, you need to build your future on the foundation of God's providence. Verse number two, he says in the middle of the verse, "As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house for the rest, for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building." Let me say that kings historically are builders. This was no small thing, students and faculty and guests. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man who had gone through difficulties. He was a man who had been involved in adultery. He'd been involved in murder. He'd been involved in difficulty. He had reaped the fourfold whirlwind of his sin in his life, in his family. But through it all, after experiencing even an uprising from his own son Absalom, he kept his cause and he kept his sights on the Lord, and God had put it in his heart. He wanted to build a temple for the glory of God. And God stepped in and said, "David, it's not going to happen. You've been a man of war. In verse number six, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Students, listen to me carefully this morning. We have a tendency as human beings to plan our lives. The book of James says in James chapter 4, go to now, listen up, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city. What do? They plan their destination. And continue there a year. They planned their duration. And buy and sell. They planned their vocation. And get gain. They planned their compensation. Is there anything wrong with planning those things? No. But James chapter 4 in the text says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying when you look to the future and you're planning your life, there's nothing wrong with planning, and as long as at the heart of your planning is God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And you must remember that while you plan and while you try to put things together, God may have other plans. And it may be that at some time in your life, you're going to say, hey, I think I have a green light in my heart. And you're going to find that God puts a red light. You've maybe met a young lady, you maybe a young man, you've maybe met a guy here, a young lady, and you've been thinking, hey, we're going to date, I think we're going to get married, this is where we're going to go in ministry, and suddenly there's an upset and everything changes. You know what you need to do? Leave it all in the hands of the living God. And when difficult times come, and they will come in college, and the winds of life will blow at you from every side, trust in his providence. The Puritans said much about providence. Providence, they said, is God's superintendence for us. Isn't that great? Literally, God for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? When I was a boy growing up in southern Minnesota, in a little country town, a little country church, on Sunday nights, we would have a time when we would have favorites. People could say, hey, I just want to sing this song. There was a lady in our congregation, and her name was Marita. And every Sunday night, Dr. Adkins, when they would say, hey, what do you want to sing? Marita would put her hand up. I knew it as a boy just exactly what she was going to say. She'd request the same song. I wanted to say, Marita, it drove me nuts as a kid. I wanted to say, hey, there are all these other songs. Why can't we sing a different song? But now I'm grateful, because those words have been indelibly stamped on my heart. She would say, I want to sing this song. And it went like this. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today, Wednesday, I will walk beside him. For he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. Young person, trust God. Trust in his providence. David said to his son, this is what I had planned, but God had other plans. And I accept it, knowing that he is in control. He said, number one, my son, as you look to the future, Build the foundation of your future on the providence of God. But notice with me in the text, he said secondly this morning, build your future on the promises of God. Verse number 7, moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. I've got the next word, if, circled in my Bible. Oh, his promises are constant, but they're also conditional. If he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God. Why? That ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children forever. He said, my son, I'm passing you a heavy mantle. And with God's divine enablement, which is his providence, also comes human responsibility, which is your obedience to his commands. Now, God gave 3 commandments to the Old Testament kings. You need not turn there, but they're found in Deuteronomy 17. The 3 commandments were these. Number 1, a king was not to multiply wives unto himself. He was to have 1 wife. Because if he multiplied wives to himself, the sensuality would take away his heart from God. Number 2, he was not to accumulate silver and gold. Why? Because materialism had the temptation to take his heart from God. But thirdly, he was not to accumulate horses, because horses were the same as military equipment of our day. He could have it in a reasonable amount, but that wasn't to be his focus, to collect that. Why? Because he would begin to depend on his own strength and the strength of his kingdom instead of the strength that comes from God. Now, let me just say quickly, regretfully, he did not obey his dad. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 6, let's back up to verse 3. And he had 700 wives. Wow. What a Christmas Eve that must have been. Princess and 300 concubines. And here's what happened in light of the warning in the book of Deuteronomy. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And here's the comparison. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Verse number 6. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel. which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. May I just say that the story, when I read it, Pensacola Bible faculty, seminarians, seminary students, as you teach through these Old Testament books, remembering, as Paul said, that these were written to us for examples as to how we should live. Students, this is absolutely a mind boggler to me that the wisest man who ever lived, who started out so wonderfully asking God when he was a young man, when he became the king, and he said, I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to conduct myself. And Lord, you put me in this big place. And God, there's something that I need. I need the living God to give me his wisdom and his favor. And God did. Solomon had it all. But he could not stay contented. You know why? Because there was a time when he sowed a thought and he reaped an act, and he sowed a habit and he reaped a character, and he sowed a character and he reaped a destiny. And at the end of his life, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he writes his memoirs in the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's a sad, 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 tragic tale. And when he gets to the end of Ecclesiastes, he speaks again to the next generation, which is what Pensacola Christian College is all about, which is what the Bible Conference is all about. And he says, rejoice, O young man, in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And then he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, remember now thy Creator, when now in the days of thy youth. The Hebrew word there for remember is the same word used for Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, where the Bible says that Hannah cried out to God because she was a barren lady and she longed so much to have a son. And she went and she said, God, if you give me a son, I will loan him back to you all the days of his life. And God heard her prayer. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that God remembered Hannah. It's the same word in the Hebrew as Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, students. It means that God looked down and God didn't say, oh man, here I've been giving Jewish babies to all these, I've been giving babies to all these Jewish women. But boy, I've been just so busy running the universe and having the sun come up in the morning and set at night and maintaining all the constellations that I forgot to give her a baby. Of course not. Our God is omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing. He is everywhere. But his heart was moved by the prayer of this young lady. And the Bible says he remembered her. And he gave her a child. And Solomon, tragically, at the end of his life, you know what he says? Vanity. Vanity. All is vanity. Oh, man. I live my life and I had learning. I live my life and I had luxury. I live my life and I had labor. I live my life. I had it all. But I forgot the Lord. Young people, you're on a campus. You've got everything. You've got administration who give themselves to maintain a school for you because they love you. Faculty who come here and teach and pour their lives into you because they love you. People who work at food service and get up early and stay up late. And then you come and get in line and eat something and mumble because it's not just what you like. Not at Bojangles, come to find out. Plenty of you have reminded me there's no Bojangles here. Okay. Students, You got everything. Most important of all, you've got the consistent presentation of the promises of God in chapel, in church, in Bible class. The question is, are you obeying those promises? Oh, those three commodities that were banned from the king are now presented in the New Testament in 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, represented in those same Old Testament commodities of the women and the gold and the silver and the horses. The Bible says, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Young man, young lady, regardless if you're from a foreign land, here in a culture where you're adjusting, regardless of your from wherever you're at in America, remember that your responsibility, your great, great responsibility before God, yes, is to work. Like Brother Gillett challenged us so powerfully yesterday. But may I say, your other responsibility is to take the promises of God that you're being given here, and let them be planted in the soil of your heart, and let them be watered, and let them be nurtured. David said to Solomon, you know why I'm telling you this? So that you'll inherit the land. You know what the metaphor is? He's saying, son, I want you to obey God. Why? Because I want the blessing of God on you. The choice is yours. Materials are here. Will you pick them up? Will you embrace them? And will you let God build on his foundation? A wise father challenged his son. He said, build the foundation of your life on the foundation of God's providence. He said, build the foundation of your life on God's promises. But number three, he said, build the foundation of your life on personal testimony. Verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Wow. He doesn't say just serve the Lord. He says serve the Lord that your dad served. He says serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Look with me in verse number 20. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Young person, when you know the will of God, do it. Jump in. He said, fear not nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God. Look at this next clause. Even my God. A wise father understood this foundational principle that it applies to everyone in the building. Although we don't think of that, here's the principle. There's no more powerful force that God uses with humans, in a home, in a church, in a college, than personal testimony. Students, when you witness, nothing is more powerful than your personal testimony. When I was a relatively new convert, I came across the verse, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. The Bible says, and ye became followers of us, Paul said as he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and of the Lord. Wow, that bothered me. I'd heard people say, hey, don't set your eyes too much on a pastor. He may disappoint you. Don't put your eyes too much on a missionary. He may disappoint you. And I thought, hey, Lord, how does all that gel? And then I realized, you know what Paul would say? Wow, do you know how we learn? You know, how does a baby learn to speak in a home? What are the first words that a baby says? Yeah, mama, dada. How do they learn? They learn through imitation. And guess how we learn the Christian life? We learn by imitating those who have gone before us. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. And Paul was saying, we learn to follow Jesus Christ by following the personal testimony of those who have a testimony that counts for Christ. Young person, on this campus, do you use your testimony for Christ? You get into a ministry like this, when it comes to personal testimony, two different types of students here. There are those who build up. The Greek word for that is the English word edification. They're edifiers. Man, they just build up. And then there are those who just always, they just tear down. Now, how much character it takes to be in that second category, goose egg. In all of our Christian experiences, there are three types of individuals. There are the Pauls who teach us, the Timothys who follow us, and the Barnabases who encourage us. You know, it gives a Christian college campus a great, great spirit that when guests come, they sense it and say, whoa, God's at work here. Can they meet all the students on a campus like this where there's several thousand kids when they come and visit for a few days? Of course, not on your life. You can't visit everyone. You can't get to know everyone, even when you're here for 4 years. But there's something you can pick up very, very quickly. And that is that, wow, I'm on a campus where the students love God. I'm on a campus where students have a testimony for the living God. I'm on a campus where people want to encourage and build up and see the church built and see the kingdom of God advanced. A wise father said, David, you got influence. Use it for God. I love Pensacola Christian College. I love its history. I love the fact that a couple came here in 1952 with nothing but their personal possessions in the trunk of an old car. But they came with a cause. I love the fact that in 1954, Pensacola Christian Academy opened its doors. I love the fact that the founders of this institution said, we want to do right. We want to have an institution where we teach young people to believe in God and His leading. We want to have an institution where young people are taught to embrace the promises of God. We want to have an institution that trains young people to take their personal testimony out into all walks of life and impact a dying world for Christ. But how surprised they were to find out that God had a bigger plan than just what had happened in the first 20 years, one of the largest day schools in the country. But in 1974, the doors of Pensacola Christian College opened with I believe, 100 kids. Nobody could have imagined that all these decades later, that this enormous student body would be here. I'm guessing, Dr. Shoemaker, I'm guessing you have students here, sir, from every state in the nation. I'm guessing you have students here from dozens and dozens and dozens of foreign countries. Nobody could have guessed. But when we served here in the 1990s, I know it was a joke with the students. When they would go home for vacation, they'd come back and they'd say, Dr. Atkins, and I, when I go home in the summertime, they'd come back. Where's the crane going to be when they came back in the fall? Because the crane just sort of moved across the campus as one after another buildings were built. And students, this is an oasis, a beautiful spot. But listen to me carefully and we're done. The Hortons finished 60 years and passed the mantle to Dr. and Mrs. Shoemaker. And under their capable, dedicated leadership, this ministry thrives in the next generation. And for me now as a pastor to come back and see our kids here thrills me. To have interns come in the summer from Pensacola Christian College, it thrills me. But I have to tell you this, as beautiful as the campus is and as wonderful as these buildings are, I say this lovingly and respectfully, my great love for Pensacola Christian College has nothing to do with the buildings. It has everything to do with the fact that the greatest building that takes place on this property, on Brent Lane, is not brick and mortar. It's the building that the living God is doing in the lives of a global student body. So the responsibility today, as David said, is not just mine, it's the king. He said, Solomon, and you men who are going to come along my side, my son's side, you hear me. The responsibility now is yours as well. And young person, God is speaking in this place. Are you listening? A builder builded a building. He wrought it with grace and skill. Pillars and irons and arches, all fashioned to work his will. Men said when they saw its beauty, it shall never know decay. Great is thy skill, O builder, thy fame shall endure for aye. But a teacher builded a building with loving and infinite care, installing each brick with patience, raising each arch with prayer. None knew of his ceaseless efforts. None knew of his wondrous plan. For the temple the teacher builded is unseen by the eyes of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumbled into the dust. Low lies each stately pillar, food for consuming rust. But the temple the teacher builded will last while the ages roll. For that beautiful, unseen temple is a college student's immortal soul. Young people, God's wired you for the future. But Don't do it on your own. Build your future on God. Stake your claim on Him. And you will inherit the land.
You've been listening to a Bible conference message from Pensacola Christian College. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.